I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Chief Justice John Roberts writing for the majority of the court that the 14th Amendment means what it says. The text of that amendment passed after the Civil War to extend citizenship to former slaves and their descendants is still the law of the land. If you're born on U.S. soil, you are a U.S. citizen. A major rebuke to President Trump, who had pushed for this executive order to take effect. It has come before the court twice. He attended oral arguments in person to look those justices in the eyes. And today, Chief Justice John Roberts leaning into that opinion from over 100 years ago, 1898, the last time the Supreme Court looked at this issue. And he said that precedent is still our precedent and it is the law of the land.
That is Devin Dwyer, I should say, for ABC News, talking about the Supreme Court ruling today, affirming birthright citizenship. So-called anchor babies. If you're born in our nation, on our soil, you are an American citizen. We're not the only nation that has that, but President Trump tried to get rid of it his first term, and that is, of course, what brought it to the head with the Supreme Court. But as you heard, the president lost out. 5-3 decision. Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett siding with the other three, the liberals. Now, I'm all about protecting our Constitution. I don't like to look at these things as political, but constitutional. But, of course, we know the damage that this is causing our nation, and you cannot ignore that regardless of your belief on the born in the USA giving you automatic citizenship. There are in about 30-plus countries that offer this unconditionally. In North America, it's not just the USA. You got Canada and Mexico. They have it in place. Central America and South America, the Caribbean. So it's commonplace in this hemisphere. Not so accepted across the Atlantic to the other side. And one other ruling that came out today, the Supreme Court said states can keep trans athletes out of women's sports. Good. That's a plus. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA. News, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have when we began. Let me give you an idea of still what's to come. In our next hour, our greatest threat to our nation, according to my guest, is not Russia, not China, not even North Korea. It is the Democrat, socialist, progressive wing of that party and what they're trying to do to our nation. And even Democrats are fearful. Hakeem Jeffries, he knows he's on a target list because he probably will be too moderate for these progressives. And later in this hour, specifically dealing with today's Supreme Court ruling and birthright citizenship, and, of course, the fact that the states can keep trans athletes out of women's sports. Hans von Spakovsky, my mistake there, Hans von Spakovsky, a constitutional lawyer. He'll break down what today's ruling actually is. And there are possible remedies if you want to go back to the Constitution. At least you have to do it that way. And our story behind the story today. John Pope Paul II visits to the U.S. I covered two of those and some interesting stories buried inside his visits that maybe you never heard. And one in particular I'm sure many of you are unaware of. A St. Louis Jew played a major part in the papal visit, the papal mass to St. Louis. We'll have that story coming up later. Now back to the issue with nations with the birthright jus soli. Or sometimes jus soli, basically stating If you're born on that nation's soil, you can stay. U.S., Canada, Mexico, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Ecuador, Guyana, Paraguay, Peru, Uruguay, and Venezuela. In addition to Barbados, Antigua, Grenada, Jamaica, St. Kitts, and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of nations that have that. Ours was put in place originally to protect slaves. Slaves who were brought here, had children here, and then to make sure that they could be a citizen of the U.S. That was the main purpose. News Fox analyst on the Constitution, George Washington law professor Jonathan Turley reacts.
Well, this is exactly what some of us predicted after the oral argument. Chief Justice Roberts said rather pointedly when counsel noted that things have changed in the citizenship area and how people become citizens. Roberts pointedly said, well, the Constitution hasn't changed. And that is reflected in this opinion. It is a roaring decision in favor of birthright citizenship as contained within the 14th Amendment. That is despite the countervailing evidence of some of the drafters of that amendment that they did not want this to be something that would cover birthright citizenship. Now, having said that, there are very good arguments on both sides here, good faith arguments. And I'm just reading through the Roberts decision today, but it is a very comprehensive and good faith argument.
There are good faith arguments, he points out. That's Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor and an analyst for Fox News, on this 5-4 ruling to reject President Trump's reform of our birthright citizenship policy. The issue has not really been, quite honestly, so much the policy itself, but how it's been exploited and continues to be so. A loose policy allowing foreigners to grab slices of American citizenship for their children. Russian and other oligarchs coming to Miami, putting their pregnant wives up in a hotel, real fancy place in Miami or wherever they wanted to be, and having their baby here. And then that baby is automatically a U.S. citizen. Then they return to their home country for that child to come back in the future. Same thing with China. And same thing with those who came across the border illegally under Joe Biden. Have their baby here, that baby is a citizen, even mom and dad are not. So millions of infants with no parental connection to the U.S. now have citizenship via this route. Texas Congressman Brandon Gill made a statement before the court actually made its ruling.
We certainly all recognize that birth tourism is a problem, as you just mentioned. I mean, the idea that children from our number one geopolitical adversary, or citizens of our number one geopolitical adversary, should come into the United States for the purpose of having babies who can then later on vote in American elections. And we know this is happening at a scale that is hard to fathom, thousands upon thousands upon thousands every single year. That's a real problem, and that's something that fundamentally undermines the meaning of American citizenship and fundamentally tears apart our social fabric and needs to be addressed. I think that, you know, whenever you look at illegal aliens, you have a similar issue. So this is something that we're looking at, and that we're, you know, I hope that the Supreme Court recognizes these very real problems and recognizes that the Constitution is not a suicide pact for the American people, but something that should be followed in order to uphold and sustain law and order in the United States.
But again, as you heard Jonathan Turley say, there were solid arguments you could be making for each side. Texas Congressman Gill making his statements before the ruling coming out, saying, I hope they recognize the damage it's being doing, that's causing our nation. I hear what he's saying, but I'll also have to say, if you're looking at the Constitution, focusing on the arguments of the Constitution, the damage to our country is not part of the consideration. It should not be and is not in this case. I still don't like it. Jonathan Turley says, then here's what you can do.
What is left here is a decision for the country as to whether it wants to examine a constitutional amendment. Some countries that have had birthright citizenship got rid of it because many of us believe it's an incredibly ill-considered policy. We can make that decision as well, but we're going to have that debate, and we're going to have to agree. We really haven't had a national debate on this. This has largely been contained within the court system. And it may be time for us as a country to decide how we define citizenship.
In other words, a constitutional amendment. And with today's politics in play, I'm not talking about just with Trump, but I'm talking about the Democrat Party is reshaping itself or actually being transformed by forces inside the party. The Democrat Party currently is in a free fall. It's kamikaze mission, suicide mission, endorsing, supporting Democrats, socialists, Marxists, communists. But, those on the left that are inside there, they're looking for a way to protect themselves and trying to say some words of platitude. New York Democrat Senator Gillibrand looking for the good.
New York had a very strong change election. There was a huge interest in new candidates, younger candidates in some instances, the next generation of candidates. And so there was several instances where incumbents lost to challengers because of that trend. And that trend is a very good trend for nationwide elections because it shows how deep the interest in change is and how fired up new voters are, younger voters are, different demographics of voters.
And, of course, part of those demographics would be Chauvier, pro-Palestinian doctoral student who won with Mamdani support New York's 13th Congressional District. No experience in office and has basically a communist view of the nation. Now, Adam Schiff, Senator Adam Schiff of California, yes, he is now a senator, referenced someone like Democrat socialist activist Chauvier winning. He said, I welcome new members, new ideas. He's lying. He's saying, you can have your new idea and everything, as long as you don't mess with me. Hakeem Jeffries the same way. He's trying to tread water in very turbulent waters, and the sharks around him are this new progressive left. Keep saying that, we have a big tent. We want to work together. Cory Booker said the same thing. But they also know that you are on their target list. They want to replace you. They will challenge you with primaries the next time around because Chauvier is their new poster child. Democrat political analyst who got Bill Clinton into the White House, James Carville.
I don't have anything in common with someone that says that they're against interracial dating or doesn't want to have any incarceration for convicted felons. That's just not who I think the Democratic Party is. And they ought to let her be a Democratic socialist. But I don't think they should. You know, you can't kick out of Congress. She was voted, but she doesn't have to be in a Democratic caucus. I just can't see how she can be part of the same coalition that we're all part of. And I understand that, you know, when you're in a coalition, you have to have a lot of slack in your line because not everybody's going to agree with me. But this is just, as they would say, this is a bridge too far. That's the only way I can put it. A bridge I want to cross. And I think a lot of Democrats feel the same way that I do.
That's a James Carville, Democrat analyst, political strategist, says this is a bridge too far. And I don't want to cross it. Well, they're building more to that bridge, James, and it's not going to go where you want to go because it is away from where you stand. You made that very clear. And even members of the left wing inside the Democrat Party, they're now worried that we might not really be as far left as this new breed coming in. Give you a perfect example. Yaya Paul,
I think we're always told as progressives that we're a big tent party, that there has to be room for people who don't agree with progressives 100% of the time. That's got to be true the other way as well. If we are a big tent party, we have to have both sides of the big tent included. And I think there are going to be issues where we don't agree 100% of the time. But I think what Leader Jeffries said is right. We are focused on making life better for the American people. And Democratic voters across the country are choosing people they think will stand up and fight for working people.
Now, that is Washington State Congresswoman Yaya Paul. And again, saying, we're a big tent party. We're going to have to include these people. You don't have a lion tamer in the center, and the lions are running crazy and crazy. And they're coming in under the tent, got their nose under it, and now inside. Because you are trying to, quote, embrace them because you're fearful. You guys are fearful of them. You are fearful. Stop and think about it. You're fearful of what they're doing to your party and what they could do to your political career future. We're worried about what they can do to our nation. Once again, James Covell.
And again, I want to be clear. I believe in a big tent. I mean, everybody doesn't have to agree with me. If you can be for Medicare for all, which I don't think is a particularly good idea, but I got that. It's fine. I would campaign for that. I would help you. I mean, you said a different view about how to expand healthcare. You're going too far. When you start, and if you want to say, as I do, that I think the government of Israel makes horrific decisions, I don't support them in any way, that's fine. I agree with you. But when you say Israel should not exist, then I'm gone. You left the house with me. That there's a whole difference between not liking a regime or a government and denying that some people have a right to exist. And I think we should draw a very clear line there.
Oh, James, you did. And you made it very clear. You're on the wrong side with these communist Marxists that are now taking apart your party. To give you an example of what kind of people are going to come out of this. Look what happened in Seattle Sunday for their LGBTQ pride parade. Numerous men and women walking with children naked in this march. Flopping around, whatever. Absolutely naked, making no effort to cover themselves up in front of children. That's what you're getting with this party. This is the kind of people that will be coming out of that. And they want to see that kind of attitude all across the nation. And, of course, watch for the climate god worship to come back as well. Oh, speaking of that, the Paris deputy mayor is blaming the U.S. for that deadly heat wave they're having in France. She says, blame Americans because they're using so much air conditioning and it's putting out emissions that in turn is causing a heat wave in Paris. I'll bet you she's not sweltering in heat that she has air conditioning running. You want to lay your money on it? I'll take that bet any day. Coming up, Hans von Spakovsky on today's rulings. And our story behind the story, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Well, my guest, I lined up yesterday because I was certainly expecting this ruling to come down from the high court. Hans von Spakovsky, he is the senior legal counsel for Advancing American Freedom. Hans, glad to have you on board.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted you because you are a constitutional legal expert and also federal election expert as well. But let's deal with the SCOTUS ruling, basically that anchor babies are entitled to birthright citizenship, 100% American. Did you expect that ruling and your reaction to what you've seen and heard so far?
Well, I was pessimistic that we would get a ruling like that, although I was hoping that it wouldn't be quite as, frankly, extreme as it is. Once again, it's Chief Justice Roberts writing the opinion. And this is probably the second worst mistake he's ever made. It might be the first, the other one being his mistake in the Obamacare case. But this decision and the one, the Obamacare case, are probably two of the worst decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court in the last 50 years.
Now, you know, some are going to say you're speaking on political issue. You're not looking at it as a constitutional expert.
No, but that's wrong. In fact, Roberts gets the history and legislative background of the 14th Amendment. He gets it completely wrong. In fact, the dissent by Thomas and the dissent by Alito completely eviscerates the majority opinion and points out all of the mistakes that they make in supposedly laying out the history of the Citizenship Clause of the 14th Amendment. I mean, if you want a good exposition of the actual history, you read the dissents in this case, not the majority opinions, which are just wrong.
Well, it's a 194-page decision saying Trump's order violates the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, and again, 6-3 vote. And Chief Justice Roberts said citizenship then and now was the right to have rights. So what's the argument the other side that should trump it but did not?
Well, he completely ignores the what the sponsors of the 14th Amendment says. they said that this was a two-part provision, and that you not only had to be born in the United States, but you had to be within the jurisdiction of the United States. Now, Roberts just says, oh, if you're born here, you're within the jurisdiction. That is not what that phrase meant to the sponsors. They said what that meant was you owe your political allegiance to the U.S. government. And clearly, the child of, for example, a tourist who's only here for 2 weeks, has the baby, and then leaves, that child isn't doesn't have any political allegiance to the U.S., doesn't have isn't within the jurisdiction of the U.S. And Roberts just kind of glances over that. And again, Alito and Thomas point out just how wrong he is in his recitation of the history of this provision. You know, the odd thing is Kavanaugh concurred in the judgment, but then said, well, he doesn't think it violates the 14th Amendment. It violates a federal statute. So he hints that Congress could potentially change the statute. So that's basically four justices who are saying that the 14th Amendment does not provide birthright citizenship.
Now, again, it was put in place in the 1800s. It was entitled or intended to protect slaves who were brought here against their will, right, and had children here. That was the origin of it. But that was the 1800s when we, right, were more isolated by geography. And now, you know, we got air and mass transit and so forth that has changed the face of the world, much less our nation. It is an entirely different world. But does that detract from what the founders intended?
The fact that it's a different world today, you don't even need to take that into consideration. If you go back to the original understanding of it, it does not do what Justice Roberts said today. Unfortunately, also once again joined by Amy Coney Barrett, who appears to be turning herself into the new Justice Kennedy of the Supreme Court.
That's a good point. You're listening to Hans von Spakovsky. He's a senior legal counsel advancing American freedom. Well, I pointed out to the audience, we're not the only nation that has this. About 33-plus U.S., Canada, Mexico, Costa Rica, South America, Caribbean. So we're not the only nation that has this, but I don't see it so much in Europe.
No. In fact, it's only a small minority of countries that have it. And some countries that had it, like Australia, got rid of it because they realized what a mistake it was, because it provided citizenship to people who really are not fully loyal to and are not part of the culture and society of a country.
Jonathan Turley, Fox News analyst, George Washington professor, says, well, the remedy, the next step would be ratification, you know, to the Constitution. Do you see that possibility?
Yeah, I think the only way to really fix this is a constitutional amendment. That would cause a particularly fierce fight between the red states and the blue states, assuming you could even get it through Congress.
And it has to go through Congress before it can even go to the states for the three-fourths of them to,
right,
approve? Okay. And again,
right,
as you said, right, that's there is a constitutional convention option, but that's never been,
yes,
used, has it?
No, it has never been used, although there's been a movement in recent years to hold,
right,
a constitutional convention to try to fix some issues like this one.
Well, and another ruling that came down that was very big, and that is, to this point, Title IX is only for biological sex, basically saying states can keep trans athletes out of women's sports.
That's right, although there were two cases. And not only those kind of state laws not violate Title IX, which is the federal law, but the other case involved a claim that it violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And in both cases, the Supreme Court said, no, it's not a violation of the Constitution. It's not a violation of federal law for states to keep biological men out of women's sports.
Well, to that extent, I know basically, if we're going to have the states actually making the decision, then am I correct about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to the states to decide what they're going to do about this, except that, you know, the Supreme Court said Title IX doesn't prevent this kind of law, but the Justice Department, you know, has been actually filing suit saying that this is just, it's discriminatory. That you're discriminating against women if you allow biological men to participate in their sports. So that's a whole nother set of cases that might prevent liberal states like California from putting in laws that allow biological males to participate in women's sports.
Well, riddle me this. How was it that SCOTUS, Justice Jackson was able to even make a ruling on it when in her confirmation hearing she couldn't even identify what a woman was?
Well, yeah, you're right about that, but I guess in this case she decided to make an exception.
And we knew it would be coming, but these are the two main cases that came out today, and that wraps up the court for this session around in the hearings. But is there a challenge still available to go back on the birthright issue in the last 30 seconds?
It's very interesting. Thomas said in his dissent that this decision was rushed, and he does not think it will withstand the test of time.
And that's a very solid point. As always, Hans, I do appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks for having me.
One thing, very quickly. The SCOTUS allowed the other day in counting of mail-in ballots that arrive after Election Day.
Bad decision written by Amy Coney Barrett, once again joined by Roberts and the three liberal justices.
Do I understand in the state of California that the voter can actually postmark their own stamp or their envelope, put their own date on it if they want?
If the postmark is blurry or non-existent, they just go by whatever date is inside the envelope written by the voter.
All right. Listen, I appreciate it. And as I said, it's the ruling a birthright is not just so much a constitutional issue, but what it's doing to our country, although the court cannot take into effect what it does to the face of our nation. So they got to stick to the Constitution. Hans, again, thank you for your time, sir.
Sure thing, Larry. Bye-bye.
You bet. We'll do it again. Yeah, making some solid points to keep in mind. Constitutional Convention, well, maybe that would come to be. You got to get states, you have red state, blue states battling if you go through ratification process. And that's going to be very difficult. Two-thirds supermajority of the House and Senate need to be passed first. Coming up, Pope John's visits to the U.S. I covered two of them. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take, just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days, all without the drugs you use. Help me for the builders you use me for. As it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting, grow up, tell it on the mountain. Faith too strong to be left out in way of the trying God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
This is the life of Pope John Paul II. He was born on the 18th of May 1920 in Wadowice, Poland, with his original name being Karol Joseph Wojtyła. The first part of his childhood, he was born into a relatively free nation, as Poland had just stopped the Soviet invasion. However, lucky in this regard, Karol was about to experience some deep tragedy. When he was just 8 years old, his mother Emilia died, and just 4 years after that, at the age of 12, his older brother died. After Karol had completed his studies, he moved from his hometown in 1938 to the former capital of Poland, Krakow. Unfortunately, this was right before the start of World War II, and Nazi Germany invaded Poland on September 1939. Karol fled with his father east with thousands of other Poles, but soon returned once they learned of the Soviet invasion of Poland. Here, Karol kept his studies going on the down low, and he grew very smart. By the time he was Pope, he spoke 9 languages fluently: Polish, Latin, Ancient Greek, Italian, French, German, English, Spanish, and Portuguese. On All Saints Day 1946, Wojtyła was ordained as a priest, the initiation of his great work for Christ. During this time as a priest, he remained strongly academic. He spent a lot of his time writing poetry and prose on a range of religious, personal, and moral topics, including publishing his first book on love and responsibility.
That is presented by Catholic 365, a thumbnail sketch of Pope John Paul II. He made and quickly became the most traveled pope in history, 6 significant visits to the U.S. during his 27 years. I covered 2 of them. I'll break that down for you as we move forward. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, he became pope in a year that had a lot of turmoil and a lot of strange things going on. Paul VI had died in 1978. Succeeded in August that year by John Paul I. He died September the 28th, after the shortest pontificate in modern times, lasting only 33 days. So they gathered, cardinals gathered again, October 14, a Saturday, behind the sealed doors of the Sistine Chapel. They took eight different ballots, and then, as CBS reports, this announcement.
This is a CBS News special report. The name of the new Pope is about to be announced. I'm Harry Reasoner in New York, now to Winston Burdett at the Vatican.
The tall windows have just opened above the portico of St. Peter's Basilica for the announcement and the presentation of the new head of the Roman Catholic Church, who was elected just a little over 40 minutes ago. The man who will make the announcement is Cardinal Pericle Felice, to whom this honor falls in virtue of his rank as head of the Order of Cardinal Deacons. Cardinal Felice, his announcement will be brief, and it will be in Latin, the language of the church.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum.
I announce glad news. And next will come the words, Habemus Papam, we have a Pope.
Habemus Papam.
October 16th, 1978. And he quickly, as I said, became the most traveled pope in history, logging some 700,000 miles, visiting nearly 130 countries. He had two meetings with President Reagan. The first actually happened on a stopover in Fairbanks, Alaska. Reagan flew to Alaska to meet him when he was on a stopover on another tour around the world. That's when President Reagan, on May 2nd, 1984, met with the Pope at one point. And then, of course, later he would meet him in Miami. That was part of the longest U.S. visit that he ever made to our nation, September 10th through the 19th, 1987. So the Pope had two meetings with President Reagan, and that second one coming in 1987 in Miami.
In a document of the Second Vatican Council that you helped to draft, it is written in language intelligible to every generation, the Church should be able to answer the ever-recurring questions which men ask about the meaning of this present life and of the life to come. In language intelligible to every generation, certainly no one can speak with greater force to our own generation than you yourself. In Poland, you experienced Nazism and communism. As Pope, you suffered a terrorist attack that nearly claimed your life. Still, you proclaim that the central message of our own time, that the central message of all time, is not hatred, but love.
On my part, I come to you, America, with sentiments of friendship, reverence, and esteem. I come as one who already knows you and loves you, as one who wishes you to fulfill completely your noble destiny of service to the world. Today, like then, I come to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those who freely choose to listen to me, to tell again the story of God's love in the world.
The Pope with President Reagan as he began his longest visit in the U.S., September 10, 1987. That was Miami. Later, he went to Columbia, South Carolina, New Orleans, and San Antonio. And by the way, at San Antonio, maybe a near tragedy could have been taking place while he was holding a mass. But what happened just days before might have saved not only the Pope, but many who would have been attending.
It now appears the twin 12-story towers at the papal mass site were an accident waiting to happen. The wait ended Thursday evening. In a matter of seconds, the towers were down. Luckily, the parking lot behind them had been cleared and no one was hurt. By this morning, the remains of the towers were cleared away from the altar. Engineers checked to see if the remaining structure was sound. They say it is. And they say what happened to the towers is no big deal.
This is not a tragedy. This is just something. This is some decorations that blew down. No one's hurt. The mass is going to go on. This isn't, to us, a terrible thing.
But church officials say they were concerned enough about the safety of the towers last week to ask another engineer for a second opinion.
Then the question arose, well, you know, with the possibility of a very strong gust, could something happen? And that's at the point in which we said, well, maybe we should try to even make it stronger than it is, even though all the assurances that we had was that it was a safe structure and that we should have no problem with it.
The towers were built to withstand wind gusts of 40 miles an hour, but some construction workers say the winds were not that high when the towers fell.
And the timing was ahead of the Pope arriving for that mass in San Antonio. And from there he went to Phoenix in Los Angeles. Now, my colleague, my co-anchor at the time at Channel 4, Julius, had picked him up when he first arrived in Miami. And then I was going to later join forces in California with him for the L.A. Dodger Stadium mass. And, of course, you had the St. Louis pastoral visit in January 1999. So there are more stories behind the visit throughout the U.S. and in St. Louis. So there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
On the streets of St. Louis, crowds had been gathering for hours, ready to greet the man affectionately called El Papa. Parishes throughout the archdiocese rang their church bells to welcome Pope John Paul. This first of three parades ended at the Archbishop's home. This is the America Center, a massive convention center where more than 100,000 worshipers, including 2,000 volunteers, 1,000 priests, and 250 cardinals, archbishops, and bishops are expected for the papal mass. High school and college age youth have been arriving since early morning. All of them were anxious to see Pope John Paul and to hear his message. Everywhere the Pope travels, he is cheered by the youth. As Pope John Paul knows, these young people are the future of the church, the light of the world. After a short trip in the Popemobile, the Holy Father arrived at the Kiel Center for his evening prayer service. Before entering the main arena, he met briefly with Cardinal Home Run King Mark McGuire. And then it was through a curtain onto the main floor, and a welcome perhaps unparalleled in St. Louis.
It is with great joy that we welcome you today, this evening, to St. Louis.
That was Archbishop Regali at that point, who had served in the St. Louis Archdiocese prior to that time of introducing the Pope. Now, an interesting thing. The man chosen to oversee all these events and make sure they went smoothly handled a lot of big promotion events. I mean, bringing in big name rock stars like Kiss, Rolling Stones. He had his own production company, and they did a lot, and they did it well. Steve Shankman, a friend of mine, and he was tapped to oversee the St. Louis visit by the Pope. And I do recall Steve saying, I said, I cannot believe it. I'm in charge of everything that try to show him off the best we can for this pastoral visit. Again, that was in January 26 and 27 in 1999, and then added, and I'm a Jew. I'd mentioned that I had picked up coverage of the Pope when he made his extended trip to the States in addition to that final trip to St. Louis. I joined Julius in California for the L.A. Dodger Stadium Mass. The next day, we were off to Carmel. Now, there were two papal planes. The Pope was on one, which was Papal One, and reporters and photographers on a second plane. We were the first to land. Our plane went in to land at Carmel, and the pilot told us that we've never had a plane this big land here at Carmel. We'll see how it ends up. Well, thank you very much. We got down safely. Then we all watched the papal plane land safely. And Clint Eastwood was the mayor of Carmel, California at that point. So he was out to greet the Pope and the Knights of Columbus. As the Pope made his way through, shaking hands with everyone, someone's telling him that this is Clint Eastwood. He acknowledged him, shook hands, and moved away, and I doubt he had ever seen a spaghetti Western in his life. And as soon as the Pope then left to go to another venue, all the flight attendants who had spent all this time for almost a week at this point with the Pope, the female flight attendants quickly flocked around Clint Eastwood. I mean, they'd seen the Pope, but now they got Clint Eastwood. It was an interesting sight. Honored to be part of covering that. Pope John Paul passed away April 2nd, 2005. But a lasting memory throughout St. Louis and the nation and the world. The story behind the story tomorrow. Mother Teresa. The Catholic Church declared that she was a saint. Others say she was a monster. The story behind the story tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.